Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Great schedule today. That will include, among others, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Neil Coulong is on the show today. Coming up tomorrow, Jack Ham, Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football, on tomorrow's show. Also working on one other guest. We're going to have a couple writers that cover Wisconsin as well. And so we have a lot going on the show the next few days. Oh, yeah, that's right. Rich Scarcella is on the show today. Should have mentioned that. Yeah, Rich will be on the show today. We'll get his perspective on what's going on, as always. So Rich Scarcella on the show today as well. Great to be with you. And again, we'll make the turn with a lot of football information tomorrow between Jack and Matt. I probably should get Derek Williams here on the show here, too, here at some point. I don't think we haven't had Derek on the show this season, so probably a good time to get him. One quick text will take care of that. Get him on and talk about the perspective, because he's been on the sideline the entire time. I mean, so he's been down there. Hearing conversations, hearing what the, you know, getting a feel for what the vibe is on the sideline. Why are they such a competent team? He's been down there and witnessing it firsthand. So probably be great to get Derek on the show here at some point this week. So that's what we have.
Would love to hear his impression of when the Ohio State score was found out by the crowd on Saturday from down on the field.
Well, they didn't make a big deal out of it. I mean, the crowd kind of told everybody what was going on. They never announced it. Obviously, people found out about it. Now, it should be pointed out that one of the reasons they're able to see it is because the sideline camera has a TV on the back of it, so that when they're in front of you, you're not missing the game. Well, at that point, they cut to the end of the Ohio State game. That's how the fans down there knew.
I'm sure there was more than a few watching it on their smartphones, too.
Yeah, I saw some people on their smartphones. I mean, that's one of the reasons I was hoping it would be over by the time we got to the Penn State game. You want people watching your game. You got a lot there. But, yeah, today we're going to have Rich Scarcella is going to be on the show today. Neil Coulong on the show today. And Nathan Davis will be on the show today as well. Penn State basketball tonight. They have Georgia Tech this evening at the Jordan Center. That will be at 7 o'clock this evening. Georgia Tech, Josh Pastner's team, young, 4-1 of the year. Ben Lemmer's inside, having a great year for Georgia Tech, averaging a double-double right now. And Ironhead Hayward's kid plays on the team. Corey Hayward, starting guard, senior, leading that backcourt. For Georgia Tech. Oh, that's watched a lot of tape on Georgia Tech last night. Good looking team. Not great, I mean, but good. Quentin Stevens, number 12, good player. Lemmer's really good. I like him a lot. Kogi, really good at 38. Fourth highest freshman point total in the history of the ACC. It's not bad. Hit 38 against Tulane last time out. So that is tonight. Penn State's looking for its third straight win. Mike Watkins had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 block shots against GW. Lamar Stevens at 18-7. And Josh Reeves had 8 rebounds in that game. Really kind of sparked them on Saturday. So we've got that coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. And then football on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Tonight, by the way, the college football playoff rankings come out. It'll be the last snapshot before we get to the final, which is going to be announced on Sunday. I believe they're announcing it, I want to say at noon on Sunday. Something like that. But yes, tonight they'll have the last one before the final tonight. And, Alabama should be one. I think the way it'll play out is that Alabama's one. Ohio State will probably be 2. I would say Clemson would be 3, Washington 4. Then I think that, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan's 5, Wisconsin 6, and Penn State 7.
If Penn State beats Wisconsin, would they flip-flop?
I don't know. Because one of the problems I have with the committee is this. And the problem I have is quite simple. I don't know what they value. If I knew what they valued, I could give you a better answer. But it seems to me like every time the conversations come up from them as to why people are in certain places, it's a different reason every week. So I feel like it's a moving target. So I don't know what their real criteria happens to be, and in what order is it in. I don't know. I think it would help everybody, as I mentioned yesterday on the show, if they were to do a mock selection, let the media in, let them see how they do a mock selection. I mean, sometime in the off season, sometime in like maybe, I don't know, July at a conference media day or something, and have them spend a day with them and see how they go through a mock selection. What are they valuing? What analytics are they looking at? Just to give the media a feel for what that is. They've done that with the NCAA Men's Basketball Selection Committee. In February, they do a mock selection with the media participating with the actual committee so that they see the process of how at-large teams are picked, what is valued when they're picking at-large teams, and then how do you seed them? Now, how do you seed them in football is irrelevant. There's only 4 of them. But when you have 68 college basketball teams, it does become relevant as to how you seed them and the fact that there is a little bit of a pecking order as to where you have to play certain teams and where you can't play certain teams. And then there are certain issues that come into play. For example, say BYU is in a year where they make the NCAA selection. When they make an NCAA selection in basketball, well, BYU has to be scheduled on Thursday, Saturday because they won't play Sunday. See, there are all sorts of things that come into play when they're trying to put together a field and then seed them. And they let the media see that and actually participate in it in Indianapolis each February. I think the College Football Playoff Committee needs to pick a day in the summertime to do the same thing, invite them in, show everybody how they go about their business, why they go about their business, what they value, which analytics they look at and why, and give everybody a better read as to how they think, because I don't know how they think. I believe what we're seeing every week is that we're seeing a snapshot every week as to what they believe are the 1 through 25. Now, how they arrive at the 1 through 25, I don't know, but that's what, they don't project what next week looks like. I'm of the strong opinion they only put out what you've done to this point, not anticipating what your full body of work is. That isn't until Sunday. Sunday, it is your full body of work. All right, we'll take a break. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to win a brand new truck from Sunbury Motors for yourself or someone in the family? Thanks to Sunbury Celebration, you can win one. That's right. Win a new Ford F-150 XLT 4x4 at CelebrationRaffle.com. Raffle tickets $100 with only 600 sold. Amazing odds for winning, and all proceeds benefit Sunbury youth programs and activities. Check out the sweet ride and learn all about it, the giveaway, and more at CelebrationRaffle.com. Plus, buy your ticket by December 1st and be entered to win an early bird drawing of $500 cash. All online at CelebrationRaffle.com.
All right, great to have you with us. The Nittany Lions take on Wisconsin Saturday night in Indianapolis. Kickoff is set for 8:17. It's a great matchup. I took a long look today at the entire Minnesota game. And you know, I'm impressed. I don't think you can't help but be impressed by how Wisconsin plays. They're never out of position defensively. The linebackers I really like. Edwards, really good. Beagle's really good. Watt on the outside's really good. They play with a three-man front. But what's interesting in their three-man front is that they can change that to a four- or a five-man front anytime they want. I mean, to me, that's one of the big things right there is that they give you a variety of looks. Watt's really good off the edge. I think Beagle's really smart. Edwards is really good. I mean, the linebackers are good. They had 12 interceptions last year as a team. They've had 11 interceptions in their last three games. I will admit that Minnesota gave them a huge helping hand on some of those interceptions. Some of them were either wrong route or just not thrown well. And that's... I kind of sat there and went, really? Where is he throwing it to? And I'm trying to see what the receiver's thinking on the play. And it was hard to tell at times. It was hard to tell at times. All right. Do we have it back? There we go. We have it back now.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Should be all right. Nobody knows. It's all right.
We'll blame the rain.
It's just part of life.
Steve, I checked.
Yeah, sure. If you want to. That's up to you.
I checked, and December
checked
4th
what?
On Sunday, the playoff announcement is at noon.
No, it is at noon. Okay. Good. Find out what's going on. I believe it's like a four-hour show or something like that. Sit there and go, 4 hours?
And there's probably a three-hour pregame.
4 hours? Oh, my goodness. To name four teams, it's 4 hours. Each team gets an hour.
Well, I suppose if you're in the top four, you deserve an hour. I don't know.
Well, the bottom line is they can sell it. That's the reason why. Okay. We're now into the suits area. Suit now, that's what the suit does. He sells. Yeah. And suit would be proud of the executives at ESPN because now they sell. Oh, my goodness. All right.
All about the money.
You know what? Considering the amount of money that ESPN has spent on this, and they have spent a ton on this. They have spent a ton. and they've got a problem right now. I mean, they've got a problem. They lost another 500,000 subscribers last month to go with the 621,000 they lost the month before. Meanwhile, the Golf Channel, get this, the Golf Channel is up 2.2 million subscribers. What? Next half hour, by the way, Nathan Davis, a basketball coach at Bucknell. Later, Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle, Neil Coulong. Tomorrow, Jack Hamm, and the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football and basketball, Matt LePay, is going to join us. So we have a lot going on here. And then a couple of writers from Wisconsin are expected to join us, and we're working on a special non-football guest for later in the week as well that I think the area will be delighted by. How about that? It'd be fair to say that. Now, once we finalize it and we tell you, you'll say, ha, huh, yes. Okay, good. But it would be a non-football guest. So that's what we're working on right now. We know we have Jack tomorrow. We know I have Matt tomorrow. We have two writers that cover Wisconsin coming up on Thursday. So we have plenty going on covering this game from all angles. And, yeah, we'll try and get Derek Williams on as well. That'll be worth that. That'll take one text. Really love the job Derek's done this year. Yeah. Now, Jack and I, you know, Jack and I go to him often just to, like, okay, what are you seeing? What are you thinking? What are you feeling down there? There's a reason for that. By the way, Jack is working on the St. Elmo's reservations for us, one of the great steakhouses in America from 1902. Craig Hughes, the proprietor of St. Elmo's, is a Penn Stater. Cha-ching. Nathan Davis, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. One thing I can't tell, you're going to have to let me know when we get Coach Davis.
He is on the line now.
Good. Then we'll go to him right away then. Coach, first of all, welcome. It is great to have you with us, as always.
Coach,
hey, Coach, how are you? Hi, Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. It's always great to have you on. Thanks a lot for giving us the time that you've given us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on once again.
All right, so we're two and a half weeks into this thing. What's the first read that you have in your team that's 5-2 right now?
Well, I really like the competitiveness we have. I think that we are a group of guys that's committed to winning. I think they're really in it for each other, and I think that gives us a chance to continue to improve moving forward.
All right, so there are certain guys you want to build this thing around. Let's start at point guard. Are you getting the kind of point guard play early that gives you the kind of optimism moving forward?
Yeah, I think especially the last week. I mean, Stephen Brown playing at the point, had a great year last year, and he frankly got off to a little bit slower start, but here in the last week, 10 days or so, he's really, really played well, and that's part of why we've had success. It's a big part of why.
Yeah, and what is it about him? Now, experience is one thing, but working with other people is another. What do you see in what he's doing so far?
I think he's making really good decisions. I think he's got an outstanding feel for what we want. He made a great read the other day against Norman, Colorado. We needed a basket and wave someone through to set up a match we wanted and made the right decision. We hit a three to kind of put the game away. So he's got a tremendous understanding of what we want offensively. He is an elite defensive player at the point guard, and so he gives a lot of good things for us.
What do you like about Zach Thomas's play so far?
He's just so smart. He has a great feel. I'm sounding like a repeat, but he's got a great feel offensively. He's a multi-talented scorer, whether it's shooting the three, which he does at a high rate. He can post, he can drive it, and he is, if not our best, one of our best passers.
How much does that help when your lead scorer is also one of your better passers?
I think it means a lot because he's not forcing shots. And if your leading scorer is not forcing shots, it's hard for anyone else to go out there and force shots. He's been very patient. He's just making the right play. And when the opportunity presents itself, he's making the shot.
Not a fouling. Okay, it's just not quite a double-double, but he's still doing a lot of good things. 71%. Is this a case of a guy understanding, okay, if I'm 8 feet away, that's not good. If I'm 7 feet away, it is good?
Yeah, he's done a great job of understanding where he wants to catch the ball and being patient in there to let if people are cutting or digging down and different things to allow him time to make moves. But he's not been panicked. He's done a great job of getting position, and he has been a force for us inside, no doubt about it.
Thomas, Fallon, and Brown are known entities. Tell us a little bit about Nate Sestina and Kimberly McKenzie, who are two of your five top scorers.
You know, I think we'll start with Kimball since he's actually playing a bit more. Kimball is a mentally tough, very confident guy. He's not afraid of big moments offensively, and he takes challenges defensively where he can really affect guys. He's had to go against some really good off guards this year and done a good job on them, but he stepped the line. He's made, I think, 8 straight free throws down the stretch when we needed them. He's made big shots, and he gives a certain attitude that you need to be good. And then I've been saying for a while, I think Nate Sestina could be, you can make a good case that he's the most talented guy on the team. As far as size, strength, speed, skill level, he can do a little bit of everything. And he's really just starting to scratch the surface with what he's capable of. In some respects, I should say in a lot of respects, the injury at last year, they held him only 4 games, it's hurt him, and they just had an experience. But he's starting to get more and more of it, and every time he goes out there, he plays better and better.
Nate Jones doesn't quite have the numbers that he wants to have, but what are you seeing in him that rounds out your lineup?
Well, I think he's a steadying force. The perimeter, he's been around, so he knows what we're trying to do. He's a smart player. He's a very good rebounder. I mean, the other day, he didn't score, but he had 2 offensive rebounds that led to points when we needed them. He had a big driving kick that led to points when we needed them. So he may have had as much effect on a game as anyone that didn't score has in a long time.
All right, the three-point line is one where the opponent right now you're outscoring them from the three-point line. Big plus. In fact, at the two lines, you're outscoring your opponents right now. So what has that meant that you've outscored your opponents from the two lines?
Well, I think that's certainly a big part of it. We want to be a team that, to start with the free throw line, we'd like to make more free throws than our opponents take. And outside of really the Wake Forest game, the way that went, that really hurt us in that respect. But we've done a good job really the last week of defending without fouling. Now, giving up 41% from three, that's just not very good. Let's not try to sugarcoat it. Now, the good thing about it is that it's not one thing. It's several things that are all correctable. And a lot of it goes back to we give the quality opponents we play credit, and that Wake Forest, Butler, Vanderbilt, when we've made mistakes, they've made them. Which helps expose them, because now you're not, when you look at the film, you're like, look, this is why we're saying you do this. You can't get away with this. So it's helping us in that regards to have that reinforcement of what we need to do. But we've just got to be much more consistent with the way we guard the ball, how we're playing shooters, how we're rotating out, and things like that. But, again, I think it's stuff that's not acceptable right now, but it's all fixable, which is a good thing.
Well, I mean, that's one of the keys. If you were able to get away with it right now, and you're looking at a tape and you're telling them, hey, look, you can't get away with this later. They may not believe you. Now they will believe you because they can't get away with it because of the people you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, we lost the 2 games that we really struggled in, Wake Forest and Butler. We just gave up way too many threes, and they made them. There's no way around it. Everything else was pretty close other than a couple runs we allowed where we gave up three after three after three for various reasons that at least are in our control. It's not like they were just making plays. There were things we could have done better that would have made those shots more challenging.
Okay, you talked about obviously guarding the perimeter better. What else is high on your list of correctable things that you want to get done before you get to the Patriot League?
Well, again, I think the first and foremost we already mentioned is guarding the perimeter and guarding the 3-point line. Some of it is improving a little bit better with our ball screen defense and being in what we call the correct initial guarding position so we can get over things and those type of things. We need to be, of all things, better in transition. To be honest with you, we're not getting the points in transition I would like to get. I think some of that's going to come with some of our younger guys who are talented, get more accustomed to playing and are playing a little bit more minutes and are lowering some of the other guys' minutes. And we've got to continue to be a team that plays inside and out. with Nana Valen, with Zach Thomas, with Nate Sestina, with Bruce Moore, with DJ McClay. We've got guys in there that can play. We've got guys with Kimball and Stephen Brown that can get in the lane, so we got to make sure we continue to work on spacing, continue to work on helping each other so we can get those opportunities, get the ball in the lane, and then be ready to shoot it when it comes out.
You mentioned transition defense. Now let's flip it to the other side. How good have you been in transition offense?
We've had our moments, but not where I'd like to be either. I think that we can do better. I think that we can run a little bit harder. I think that there's things we're missing at times, and I think we need to do more in practice, and this is on me. We got to do more stuff where we're shooting the ball in transition so we start making more of those.
How tough is it practicing right now, because you're playing a flurry of games here because you're eventually going to have finals coming up. So how tough is that in a practice schedule when the games are compressed the way they are?
It's not the easiest thing, and it's from the standpoint that we're playing very good teams with our schedule that we've got to be ready for. We also have to balance, like you said, the academic side with this for the last full week of class here. We've got travel. We were gone for 9 days from last Friday. Got back Saturday about 10 o'clock at night, turn around playing Richmond here on Wednesday. We haven't really yesterday was our first full practice in over 2 weeks, where we actually could go for an hour and 45 minutes and guard and go up and down and that type of stuff, and you need some of that. But it is no doubt a challenge to balance being fresh and repping what you need to rep in order to give yourself a chance to win the game. But, hey, I got a pretty good job, so there's a lot worse things I could be complaining about.
Oh, exactly right. What about film work right now? Give me the value of film work. And how important is it for the players themselves to participate in that film work?
It is as valuable a thing as you do, not only this time of year, but throughout the year. If you can show them what you're trying to work on, guys can pay attention and see it and understand and then carry it over on floor. One of the ways it really helps you is then you don't have to repeat it as many times. They see it, they can carry it over on floor and put it in execution, and that allows you to get through some things that you need to get through quicker, and does save legs and allows you to even do some more things in preparation moving forward.
Do you like your team, how they approach things mentally to this stage?
I would say that's the thing I've liked most about them so far. I mean, we're playing a Northern Colorado team, and not a lot of people know about, but they're very good. They're very good. They took Arizona down to the wire. They took Santa Clara, who almost beat Vanderbilt, also down to the wire. They're very good, and we're playing them. It's our third time zone. It's our fourth game in 7 days. We've gone through a little stretch where we're down 6 or 7. We go in and look, this is going to be all about toughness here. It's about who can not make excuses and rotate when they need to rotate and guard the ball and take care of the ball. And we went on like a 14-2 run or something like that to get the lead and kind of ice the game. And I thought that showed a lot about the type of mentality our guys have coming off a back-to-back and that type of stuff as well. I mean, that's when you get into tournament play, when you get into league play, so much of it is a grind. And it's understanding that things aren't going to always go well, but can you – for better, lack of a better word, bow your neck and sit down and not make excuses. Find a way to get it done anyway. It's about who can get it done in the face of adversity. And I think our guys have done a good job of that to this point.
Richmond, good basketball team in a lot of ways. They're averaging over 70 points a game. What's your thought on them to the stage, especially after the big win over BC?
Yeah, like you said, they are a good team. They beat Boston College. They frankly, watching them play Maryland, should have won that game too. They had Maryland on the ropes, and they got away from right at the end of regulation, and they fell behind a good bit in overtime and couldn't come back. But with their center T.J. Klein and their point guard Shondre Jones, are both outstanding players. They're both averaging over 18 points a game. They combined for 52 assists. Their center actually leads their team in assists. So they play a lot through him. They're very disciplined offensively. Chris Mooney does a great job with them, has for 12 years. They're also disciplined defensively. They don't typically beat themselves. So you got to be ready to sustain your defense, and you got to be ready to work to get good shots. You can't settle. You can't force things. You got to understand that they're going to guard some things. You got to keep making them work and work and work until they make a mistake, and then hopefully you can take advantage of it.
I remember Chris at Air Force, I want to say. Are they still running a lot of that Princeton action?
You know, they still do some of it. It's a little bit like if you watch Princeton now and you watch Georgetown and things like that, where they have some of it, but they have, frankly, better athletes. And so they aren't as tied into, like, when you play, like in our league, when we play a Holy Cross of America, where they kind of do it over and over and over again, Richmond won't do it quite like that. They'll play at a faster pace. They'll look to break off more and get in the lane. They do it as much just to create space and driving angles. and long closeouts as they do to actually score from, say, the back cut or from the ball screen, the roll type stuff. They just want to create space.
Great stuff, Coach. Great to hear you on the air again with us. Appreciate it. Best of luck with Richmond coming up tomorrow night.
Thank you. Look forward to talking next week.
Yep, look forward to it very much. Nathan
right,
Davis,
head
basketball coach at Bucknell. And the next half hour, Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, will follow that up with Neil Coulong to talk about the Steelers. All that and more as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our Neil Coulong on the Steelers. And then tomorrow, Jack Ham and Matt LePay. Or as to this day, I still laugh about it. We were in Ireland, and Penn State was practicing at the College of Dublin on their soccer field. But they had it all lined, like a football field, goalposts, the whole thing. So we're at College of Dublin, and some of the students were sitting there watching practice. So I went over just to get a feel as to who they were, and there were five of them. Three of them were from Ireland, like Limerick, County Cork, Dublin, and two of them were from Scotland. And I said, how interested are you in American football? I said, oh, love American football. Oh, I said, how much do you know about Penn State? Well, we know who our favorite player is. I said, oh, great. Who's your favorite player? I go, Jack Ham. I said, Jack Ham. Oh, we love Jack Ham. I said, you want to meet him? I thought they were going to fall over. I said, he's standing right over there. Still laugh to this day about that. I walked up to him. I said, my goodness. I said, even here? Come on. Well, the great one who has no ego, and he has no ego, will be on the show tomorrow, and we'll break down this season of Penn State football for you. And I'm looking forward to that. Always look forward to it. I mean, he and I usually talk a couple times a week anyway before we even get to the game, so this will just, we've already talked twice this week, actually. And I've got to talk to him tonight about something, too, after I'm done with the basketball game. But, yeah, so we've got all that coming up. Big Ten Championship game, Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. I've had people ask me, is the roof going to be open? No, the roof is not going to be open. Jeez. Not going to open the roof. Now, the NFL has a rule that if it's below 40 degrees, you don't open the roof. Well, you don't have the same thing, but any championship game that is played, the roof on these places are always closed. I don't care whether it's Arizona, whether it's Dallas, whether or you know, Arlington or Indianapolis, whatever. The roof's always closed. So the roof will be closed. It'll be a controlled environment. You can go in there because, I mean, by the end of the game, it's going to be like 36 or 37 degrees. So it's not as if it's going to cool down. I mean, it's not as if it's going to be a balmy night to open the roof. So the roof will not be open at Lucas Oil Stadium. It is I'm pretty sure most of you have never seen it before. Indianapolis is not normally high on the itinerary of bucket list places to go to. But it is a very nice place to go to. They do a great job. I was talking, in fact, George Blaha, who's the play-by-play voice for Michigan State, and you may also know George because he's the longtime voice of the Detroit Pistons. And George and I were talking after the game, and he says, you know, and he's done, what, three of them? Three of these Big Ten championship games there? And he says, Steve, I hope they never move it out of there. And I know the contract's through 2021 there. He says, I hope they never move it out of there. And I said, you know, it's interesting, George, is that, you know, when it comes to the Big Ten tournament, I said, they're moving it a little bit. I said, you know, but most of the time it's been in Indianapolis, once in a while Chicago. This year it's going to be in D.C., and next year is Madison Square Garden. I said, but if you ask the teams and then you ask the other announcers, you know, I was telling George, I said, they'll tell you Indianapolis is the place to go. You know, and you're thinking Indianapolis over D.C., New York, Chicago, but everything there is laid out in this quad in such a way where everything is easily accessible. All the hotels are there. All the restaurants are there. The basketball arena is on one side. The football stadium's on the other. And the one thing that you will notice when you go to Indianapolis, the single most dominant structure in Indianapolis is not the state capitol. It is not Monument Circle. The single most dominant structure when you go to Indianapolis is Lucas Oil Stadium. It is, even though it's 65 to 70,000, it is a massive structure. A massive structure. The RCA Dome, which Penn State played Indiana in 2000, Ryan Permanente won the game with a field goal with about 25 seconds to go. And in that game, that was obviously next to Lucas Oil Stadium, and they had not imploded it yet. In when I went there for the Big Ten tournament one year, and Lucas Oil Stadium, even though it only has 10,000 more seats than the old RCA Dome, is such a massive structure that it looked like the Jordan Center next to Beaver Stadium. That's just because of how it is built. Lucas Oil Stadium is a massive structure. It's where they have the combine every year and so forth. But yeah. The house that Peyton Manning built, where he no longer plays. So that's 8:17 is the kickoff. Saturday night. Tonight, Penn State basketball, Georgia Tech, ACC Challenge at the Jordan Center. 7 o'clock, everything gets rolling tonight. Georgia Tech under Josh Pastner in his first season, 4-1. Ben Lemmers, double-double leading them inside. Penn State looking for its third consecutive win. All right, next half hour, Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.